remember now thy Creator. And today's devotion is entitled Talking About Life, taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The introduction from verses 1 to 3, and the thought that there is nothing new under the sun, verse 4 to 7, and from verse 8 to 11, life is a great weariness under the sun. The book of Ecclesiastes is a description of the life of a backslider who came to his senses. The prodigal son who saw the folly, the futility, and fruitlessness of his ways and came back to his father's house and speak with hindsight of a wasted life. And yet, it is not in vain that he lived his life. More than a biography, this book of Ecclesiastes is a sermon, is a message about life, right? To show us the vanity of life, of the vanity of the life of a natural man, how it simply does not satisfy. And there was a famous verse in the Bible that described the life of this man who wrote this book. He collects apes and peacocks. That was one of his hobby. Right? Second Chronicles 9 verse 21 says, "For the king's ships went to Tarshish with the servants of Huram. Every 3 years once came the ships of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes, and peacocks." You know, the peacock is one of those most beautiful animals that God has created. Right? So he spent time looking at these things. And we want to see from his writing in this introduction that there seemed to be a deep repentance in the heart of the writer. He wants to tell us the sense of regret of a life that seemed wasted. Right? He is writing to us, telling us, setting for himself an example of a wasted life. And he wants to say to posterity, to the futility of pursuing a life in the flesh, in this three-dimensional world without God in the equation. A carnal life, he wants to demonstrate to us, that does not satisfy. And he ultimately tells us that it's a regretful life. Have you had someone talking to you and saying to you that, you know, I seem to have wasted my life? 30 years, 40 years of my working life. Well, we have people who say these things on hindsight. Right? Solomon is one of them. The writer calls himself the preacher, the son of David, right? Verse 1 tells us, king in Jerusalem. So we all know who we are talking about, right? King Solomon. He is the writer. And he is the man who came out of the loins of David and David's adulterous relationship with Bathsheba. Well, not by choice. He came as a result of that relationship between David and Bathsheba. But it was ordained of God in a sense that God caused him to be born. And then he became king of Israel, after the death of his father. And this book is written, as you read through, of Solomon in his old age, because there is a lot of reflection that goes on in his thinking. He thinks about life. And, you know, sometimes we are just too living life too quickly. Life seems to be passing us by. We have no time to think about what we are doing, why we are doing what we are doing. And Solomon is, you know, reflecting upon life. And as we make this study, it is a very a part of this book that causes us to want to slow down, right? Take a step back, review your own life, think about your life. And it's good to take stock, to take account about what we are doing, the purpose in our life, the purposes in our life, and think if, you know, truly this is where we should be going. Is this the direction I think I would like my life to be for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years, God willing, for the next 15 years, as God gives us life? And so Solomon is very reflective as he speaks in this book, right? He is very reflective, and he took a very serious review of his past life. Do you examine your own life? Well, this man did. He examined his own life, and he writes in great detail to tell us about his life. And, you know, for a man to be so candid, so frank about what he has gone through about life, showed that, you know, indeed there's something that he wants to share. There's something that he wants to talk about, right? And he tells us about the honor, the pleasure, the wealth, the wisdom that he had abundantly enjoyed in his life, and the errors and the miscarriages that he had fallen into. Sometimes we don't want to talk about the miscarriages of life. We want to talk about the good things of life. But you see here, this is a man that has been touched by God. And God wanted him by his Spirit to reveal certain aspects of his own life so that he may profit others. His name, Solomon, was given to him at birth. And Solomon means beloved of the Lord. He was someone who was whom God set his affection, his unchangeable love, his seal upon. God gave him such a name to reflect, you know, the care that God took upon his life. And as you see, it was a wayward life. And it's interesting that God would take such care, you know, to look at the life of a wayward child. And so he begins to his review of life with this very shocking words. Right? Straight away, in the beginning of the book, he tells us, "Vanity of vanities," saith the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." He's saying that, you know, life is not worth living. Right? Everything is vain. Everything seems so profitless. That's what he says in verse 3. "What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun?" So he's going to tell us what he did in life. Every aspect of his life, the labor that, you know, the things that he did, he would tell us. Right? And he called his own life vanity. And he says, all of it is vanity. Okay. Now, what exactly does this word vanity means? why did he use this word to describe his life? Right? The word literally means a vapor or a breath. You can't even see it. It is what we said, a life of emptiness and meaninglessness. And that's what the word means. Right? Just a breath. And one writer put it, chasing the wind. Chasing the wind. How do you chase the wind? You can't even see the wind. Right? It's as if, you know, you are trying to grab something you cannot grab hold of. Right? Grabbing the air. Okay. And so what he's trying to say is that, you know, he has grasped nothing in life. So in life, he wanted to hold on to something substantial, that he can call substantial about life. But he couldn't. There was nothing that he could grab. There's nothing that he could hold on to that is truly tangible. And that's what he means when he says, you know, when he uses the word vanity to describe his life. And the word vanity also means that it's something that vanishes, that fades into nothingness. And he's describing this word, or this life, you know, a most unlikely person to give such a comment about life. Because he was king in Jerusalem. He had all the good things of life. You know, you talk about enjoying life. He had everything. And why is it that, you know, a man who has everything can end up saying that he has nothing? There's something that he wants to tell us, you see. And he will express it to us, right, as we study through the book. This word vanity is used 75 times in the Old Testament, and 35 times it was used by Solomon to describe life. And he wants to tell us that there is a particular way of life. Right? That there is a particular way of living, okay, that is unprofitable. Okay? And he will spell out to us, show us what is it so unprofitable about certain lifestyle, certain way of living, right? And he described this unprofitable life, you know, in this way. He says he described it as all of man's labor, which he taketh under the sun. All of man's labor, which he taketh under the sun. Right? That's in verse 3, the second part. What does he mean by that? The phrase under the sun. Right? If you make a count, it is used 29 times in this book. It's a description of life, of the life of man on earth without God. A life that is lived without God. That is life under the sun. Okay? And he wants to contrast, you know, what is life above the sun. He wants to tell us about heavenly things. Things eternal. Not earthbound, but things heavenly. You know, so you see our little banner, little publicity banner. You know, we have clouds, you know, and the blue sky. Help wanting us to, you know, see that there is a kind of life that is, you know, that God wants us to seek, right, that He did not sought after during the time that He lived. And you know, life is short, right? And time moves in only one direction. It can only pass you by. And so when time passes you by, you cannot turn the clock back. You know, you can only look back at the past time. It is a memory to you. But there's nothing you can do to change, right, the things that has taken place in life. So this is what he was going through. He was in a very contemplative mood. Okay. And it is interesting, right, that as we go through, think about life, right, sometimes the Lord wants us to think and consider and to spend time to learn wisdom. We can learn wisdom by thinking, reflecting, and this is what he was doing. And it's the best way to go about, to learn from the thoughts of those who have lived life. And also, so that, you know, you would not have to experience life yourself, to taste the bitter fruits, having understood that, you know, there's a certain way of life that is not profitable. Okay. And so he's telling us that the things that man does apart from God under the sun, which he used the term to describe, that is earthly, is vanity, and the phrase that he would use to describe that kind of a life, vexation of spirit. Okay. There is a kind of life that pulls you down, dampens your spirit. There's a depressing kind of life that, you know, he's telling you he has lived through, and he doesn't want us to go through that kind of life. And so what is Solomon doing in this book of Ecclesiastes? He takes the place of the guilty. He portrays himself as a man living under the sun. And he reasons with us as an earthly man, a natural man, a man upon earth who knows nothing about God and goes about living his life. He takes his experience as a man who does not know God. And he traced it all the way to the end of this man's life, so that at the end of it, he tells us that it has no satisfaction. Okay. So he's telling us that there is a way of life that brings no joy to you at the end of life. Our Lord Jesus Christ called it the broad way and the narrow way. Enter the straight gate. Take the narrow way. This is the way that leads to life. Then he says that there is also a broad way. Enter the broad gate. Through and walk the broad way. And that way, he tells us, leads us to death. And so the Lord wants us to think about our own life and think about life as we study this book. All right. And He's trying to send a message. He's trying to tell us that the pleasures of this life, the things that appeals in this life, that seem so appealing to you, that is so attractive to the physical senses, is in the final analysis not so attractive. There's a blade behind it. There's a price to pay living that kind of life. And so and he wants to tell us that don't go that way. And we shall go into details about what is that way that he tells us don't go there. And at the end of his book, he came to one conclusion. He says that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's how he summed up life, you know. Wow, very deep. That's how he summed up life. Fear God and keep his commandments. And we're going to see why he arrived at that conclusion. He will take 12 chapters to bring us there. But, you know, life is not a one-day thing. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years of life. So he's going to paint for us life in its full perspective. And then he would bring us to the end, and he would tell us that, hey, don't go that way. Don't go that way. So, like what the Apostle Paul said, nah? While we look not at the things which are seen, and at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so he came to the last period of life, of his life, and he labored, right, to bring back the honor of God in his life, right, by stating where he had gone wrong in his life. So at the end of the book, he says this in Ecclesiastes 12, 9 and 10. He says that he still taught the people knowledge and sought to find out acceptable words. You see, why did he bother to do that at the end of his life? Usually at the end of life, you know, we become physically tired, physically weary, in the sense, you know, we have run our race and we are coming to the end of that journey. Time to relax. In a way, we are going to our eternal home. But he was not. There was that restlessness in him. Why did he have this restlessness in him? I believe that God has placed in his heart to reveal something about life to us. And he wants us to see, right? To know. Okay. So he is like the Peter. You know, Peter was someone who was who betrayed the Lord, and the Lord restored him. And the Lord said to him, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren, feed thy lambs. Meaning that, you know, he has gone the wayward path. All right? And he's telling us that don't go that way. Okay? And he has a good parentage. Right? Solomon was the son of David. Right? So he owed much of his godly his life to a godly upbringing from David, his father, who was king in Jerusalem. And indeed, he stands out as a different man. God endowed him greatly. And as the word, as the Proverbs, you know, that he gave tells us in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So Solomon, in his old age, in a way, came back to the Lord. So the training that he had at the beginning of his life was effectual. This proverb did describe such a man. God's covenant grace was upon him. He was not left to rot in that sense. But God brought him back in his last days. And how, you know, he was someone who said, whom this proverb speaks well, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Finally, he came to his senses. Finally, whatever that is taught to him came back to him. Just like the man who wrote The Amazing Grace. What's his name? John Newton, that's right. Remember, John Newton, we said that at a very young age, his mother died. And very young age, the mother taught him the scriptures. But after mother died, about 6 years old or so, you know, he was on his own. And he went into bad company, as it were. Became a sailor and lived a debaucherous life. You know, and one day he was in a storm. And the ship was going to sink. And he came to his senses. Somehow the mother's words that was taught to him at a very young age came back to him. And there he kneeled down and he prayed, you know, for mercy from his mother's God. God turned him around. And the story is this, right, that he wrote this Amazing Grace, which we have sung. How God turned him around. And he became a man who showed many people, to bring many people back to God. I read of a testimony of a gangster. He was one of the most notorious gangster in Hong Kong city. You know, and how he was converted. And, you know, his conversion is such that every time he departed from the Lord, he couldn't sleep. God didn't give him sleep. But when he came back to God, he could sleep. And he cannot understand why. He says, Jesus, don't disturb me. I want to live my life. He was holding one of this biggest distribution of drugs from Hong Kong to around the world. So, you know, they were bringing in tons and tons of cash every day. He was living the highest life that you can ever live. But Jesus dealt with him. He testified that, you know, I had an opportunity to see hell. And he says that you don't want to have 1 second there. It's terrible. And he came back a frightened man, someone who is woken up. You know, and he goes about telling, he had many casinos And all his casinos lose money. He says, I cannot understand why. He says, hey, Jesus, don't do this to me. Right? How can the casino lose money? But his casino all lose money until all the casinos has closed down. Right. Very interesting. So God works in the life of men and women, you know, to turn them around. And Solomon is one of those men, right, whom God had turned around. And the most, at the most befitting time, at the end of his life. The first thought, verse 4 to 7, nothing new under the sun. One generation passes away and another cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also rises and the sun goeth down and hasteth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth towards the south and turneth about the north and wheeleth again continually. The wind returneth again, you know, in according to its circuit. So he says life goes on like that. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Unto the place from whence the rivers come, they would return again. So he's telling us that things continue on in the world. Right? One generation come, and then one generation pass. It seems that you cannot take hold of life. This life under the sun. You know, it's almost as if you could not do anything by your labor. Because if you have accomplished anything, before you know it, it's time to leave it. And he says that this is the same for families, this is the same for nations, this is the same for kingdoms. You build something, you know, and you think that you have built something. But you find that, you know, hey, at the end of that building, right, you can't take hold of what you have built. Just like what our sister was saying, right, mother has gone home to be with the Lord. Mother had many things in this life. But when she left, she had nothing, as it were. Yeah, as it were, so sad. You have to leave behind all the things that you have done in this life. And he would describe it a little bit more. And you would find it very true what he says. So, Solomon is saying that here we are too, living that kind of life. Death comes and man passes away. One generation comes, before you know it, another generation comes. You think that you are in the prime of life. Before you know it, you have passed your prime of life. Okay. And he wants to tell us that we are to live a kind of life that is profitable. And he wants to tell us that, you know, not to live the kind of life that is unprofitable. And he's telling us that this is a path of self-destruction and there's no profit in it. Right? Today, you will see it, right, in the lives of men and women who loves the pleasures of this life. Right? The Apostle Paul says that, you know, they are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Right? And the material things of this life, he says that, you know, there are some things that we all go after. But these are things that doesn't profit you. And so he says, he wants to tell us that the world is like a stage. Persons passing into the scene, coming into the scene, and vanishing before our eyes. You know, it's like a movie where you play a fast forward. You see people moving at a very fast speed. And this is what it is, you know. If you think about the whole span of time, and you look at your own life, how, you know, your own life is just that small section. Comes and then finally goes and gone. Okay. And it's as if none will stay. Right? And the house abides, but you know the house is still there. You see a house, but the people that are staying in the house are no longer there. Okay. How is it that, you know, we don't really get to enjoy life? There's no permanency about life, he's telling us. And from verse 8 to 11, he tells us that, you know, life is a great weariness under the sun. All things are full of labor, and man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So he's telling us that, you know, this world that we lived in is a weary land. We rise up early to labor, and we take our rest at the end of the day, right? And this is so, it just saps all your energy away. And he says that I can't describe to you this life. And you look at a man, you know, in his life, you look at yourself. From the time you wake up, the activities that you do, one thing after another, one action after another, you know, is like non-stop. You know, you're moving, you're doing, you're thinking, you're... Everything goes on like that. Right? And he's saying that, you know, is there not a weariness in it? He tells us that there's a great weariness in it. And he wants to tell us more, right, concerning this weary life, right, that he lived. And he would describe more to us as we continue our study. Right. So this first thought, or this first message, talking about life. So he wants to tell us about life. He says that there's nothing new in this life. And this life is a great weariness. And this is the life of a natural man. Man lived without God, without an eternal purpose. It is that kind of weariness. And he is telling us that, you know, we are not to go that way. May God help us as we spend time to think and consider slowly what he has to say to us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for this time where we can study and consider what Solomon has to tell us about life under the sun, life without God. I pray that thou help us to understand and cultivate our spiritual life, a life that is eternal, life that has value and meaning beyond this temporal life. Lord, open our eyes that we may see the truth. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.